Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Shafawalaf, my colleague at MRM. Oftentimes I've had LDS missionaries come to my home, and naturally they want to share what they believe to be true with me. One of the first questions I have found that I'm often asked is, well, have you ever heard about The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Or how much do you know about The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? To be quite honest, you could be very tempted to act like you don't know anything about it just to keep the conversation going, because I have learned from experience that sometimes Mormons do not want to spend the time with an individual who may know a lot about Mormonism, or even perhaps know more than they do about some aspects of Mormonism. What do you have to say about that, Aaron? Because we have run across Christians, and I believe they're well-meaning Christians, who sometimes feel that they should act as if they don't really know anything about Mormonism in order to engage the Mormons that either come to their door or Mormons that they work with.
I want to set this up with some empathy first, but then give a soft rebuke. The empathy part is that Christians who are eager to evangelize, who are eager to share the gospel, who are eager to share the truth, eager to engage the issues, have experienced the general hypersensitivity of Mormon culture. And you can have a conversation in really quickly simply by admitting, yeah, I've studied the LDS Church quite a bit, and I think I know a lot about it, and here's some big issues I have with it, and I would love to share the gospel with you. Depending on the LDS person you're talking to, that can end really quickly. And so I can empathize with Christians who feeling sort of this desperate urgency to want to share some really important truths, want to set the conversation up to last longer than a few minutes. What I want to encourage and chide and admonish my Christian brothers to do is to set the tone and the stage from the get-go with honesty and integrity, and not play God, and really let God do his own will, his own thing. I think one of the things you can do when you start out a conversation with LDS missionaries, it's unique for you, me, Bill, because we've been engaging the LDS religion, you for decades, and you've written books on the issue, you have a radio show on the issue. But let's just think about a more common scenario where you've got a Christian who's maybe spent 12 hours reading books, watching YouTube videos, learning from Christians at a top level about Mormon theology, its history, maybe read some chapters in Gospel Principles and considered some high-level issues. Did God become a God? Can we become gods? And you've probably, you've read some really important quotes from LDS leaders on the issue. You might be talking to an LDS person who hasn't thought about it for more than 10 minutes their entire life. We've had a lot of scenarios like that. And it just makes the situation a lot harder. But in a scenario like that, what I would recommend doing is preparing yourself to give a one or two sentence disclaimer for the sake of honesty and integrity. Something like, hey, I have been studying Mormonism for, I think, about 16 or 17 years now, and I've read quite a few books on the issue, and I think I understand LDS theology pretty well. I like to qualify that with a kind of provisional aspect, because I want people to know that I'm willing to be taught, willing to be corrected. There's things I don't know. I have never lived within LDS culture as a member of the LDS Church.
Well, that's very similar to what I say when I'm asked that question. I told the story of the missionaries coming over to my house. They asked me what I know about the LDS Church, and one of my pat answers, and you talk about having a prepared response, and I think that's very good. One of my prepared responses is this. Well, as a Christian, I personally think it would be irresponsible for me as a Christian living in Utah to ignore what my neighbors believe, what my friends may believe. And so, yes, I have done some study into Mormonism. I don't mind telling them that I have read several Mormon books on the subject. And yes, I have read some books that are critical of Mormonism, but I'm always interested in wanting to know what you, as a Latter-day Saint, believe personally on some of these issues.
You might be an expert on Mormonism, but you're never the expert on this stranger you've just met.
Exactly. So, and that's why I'm always very reluctant to do what some Christians do, and that is just outright accuse them of not being a Christian. I don't know who they are. I don't know what their background is. I don't know what they may have believed before they joined the Mormon Church. I don't know.
The irony is, part of respecting the LDS people is not assuming so strongly that what they believe lines up with what their leaders have taught, especially knowing the diversity of LDS people. So I think, in short, what we can say really strongly is, do not play the role of an investigator in a way that is deceptive.
It doesn't mean that you can't ask them questions. I think you should.
You can be an investigator by way of learning about what the other person believes, but do not act like you don't already know some basic teachings of the LDS Church. That's deception. I think part of the challenge here is that truth-telling is not merely a passive issue. It's not merely that you're being asked questions and that you're responding with the truth. A lifestyle of truth-telling is having to put your cards on the table on your own initiative and contributing things by your own initiative that set the tone for truth. And that can be tough sometimes, because you're like, well, how do I generalize this in a respectful way? How do I not intimidate a person? Because part of it's just love. It's like, you want to generalize it in a way. It's like, hey, I know a lot about the LDS Church. I am a vocal critic of it. But I do love the LDS people, and I'd be really interested to hear your story about what you believe. I think part of the genuine love, the love for neighbor that Christians should have, is always maintaining a curiosity. Sometimes when I hand out tracts at Temple Square, my appeal is, hey, would you like to learn more about what born-again Christians believe? Hey, Jesus said, love your neighbor, and I would like to think that part of loving your neighbor is being curious about what they believe. I'm pretty curious about what my Latter-day Saints believe. I would hope that my Latter-day Saint neighbors would be curious about what I believe. When people have zero curiosity about what their neighbors believe, it's usually lovelessness. It's disinterestedness. But hey, there's a great passage in 2 Corinthians 4 that I think can give us a good mindset for this. Paul said, first verse, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth. By open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. And he goes on to talk about the spiritual blindness and spiritual reality of the situation. So, key points here. Paul thinks that a part of our evangelistic ministry should be a refusal to practice cunning, a refusal to tamper with God's word, and the alternative to that is to speak the truth openly in an appeal to the conscience. And that's sort of the scary part for people, because you're getting at you're kind of tweaking at something. Now, another passage here is in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, don't throw your pearls before swine. You're going to have your pearls trampled on. And I've learned over the years slowly that there's a wisdom in that that's unexpected. Namely, when you are willing to just move on and say, look, this person is not ready to hear the truth. They are arrogant. They're not teachable. They're not even curious. They can't have a respectful conversation. When you're all the more ready and willing to move on, you're trusting in the sovereignty of God. But what you're also doing is you're maintaining a momentum and a stamina in your overall evangelism. Because when you engage in a kind of pearls before swine encounter, the worst of you comes out. Your flesh comes out. Bad habits come out. And you get discouraged all the more in ways that were unnecessary. So we should trust Jesus on this. In Matthew, I think it's Matthew 10, when Jesus sends the apostles out, he sends them to a town. If they have a poor reception, if they're basically rejected, he tells them to move on to a different town. And I think we can extrapolate from that, hey, if you have somebody who's not receptive to the gospel, there's a wisdom that Jesus gives us in moving on to the next person.
I think that's fair. I don't think that we really have an obligation to take a lot of time with people who really don't want to hear what we have to say. I have often used a couple of questions that over the years that have helped me determine who I am really talking to. One is, do you believe it honors God to believe something that's false? Most Mormons, though they don't answer right away, they'll eventually say, no, I don't think it honors God to believe something that's false. I say, okay, that's good. Well, if there was a slight chance you could be wrong on something, would you want to know? Now, I've had some LDS people say, no, they wouldn't want to know. Right. Well, that tells me I'm probably not dealing with a real rational person here. It may not be conducive for me to spend a lot of time with that individual. Doesn't mean I don't like them. I actually, quite honestly, pity them for being in that kind of a position, that they wouldn't be willing to hear something that might go against their perceived truth claims.
A really great way to think about this, too, is you should measure the success of your encounter by faithfulness and integrity. Either do some sort of pre-evangelism or share the gospel itself, if given the opportunity. But really, it comes down to faithfulness and integrity. That should be the measure of your success. Do not measure the success of your encounter by whether there was follow-up, how warmly it was received. Your job is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and sometimes ambassadors aren't received well. Let God be God. You can't play God. You're not the social engineer here. This doesn't ultimately depend on you.
If we are praying before the encounter that God moves on their heart, certainly we would hope that we would really believe that. And you're right. We shouldn't let those kind of results discourage us, but certainly we should walk away from a conversation asking ourselves, did I honor Christ in the way I just behaved? I have to admit, over the years, I can't say that for 100% of my encounters.
Same here.
I walk back with that palm to the forehead moment, like, why in the world did I say that? Or why did I react that way?
Repent after.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes.
But it is a good thing to remember. We don't condone using any type of dishonesty when we're talking, not just with the Latter-day Saint, but with anybody, no matter what their background might be. We should always remember that in our conversation, we should be striving to honor God and to give Him glory. Hopefully, if the Holy Spirit sees fit to use our arguments to convict that person's heart, draw that individual, perhaps by our behavior, they might even want to sit next to you in church. That would be a great thing. I would hate for them to walk away thinking, even if I was to believe what this individual said, I would never want to sit next to them. That would not be a positive experience.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The leaders of the LDS Church say they produced the manual, Gospel Principles, to reinforce their member study of the core doctrines of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, during the months of February and March, MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are reviewing Gospel Principles to see what this church manual has to say on topics such as God, Scripture, obedience, and the eternal nature of the family. For this radio series, MRM has produced an extensive PDF file that includes a summary and quotable quotes from each chapter, along with a short biblical response. This would be a wonderful way to follow along throughout this series. And during February and March, we are offering this PDF file for electronic donations of any amount. Just go to mrm.org and click on the orange donate button on the right side. You'll be emailed a copy of the file within 2 weeks. Your generous gifts allow us to be successful in this important ministry. Again, go to mrm.org and make your electronic donation today. From all of us here at MRM, thank you for your generous support.